The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Boy, a good education means everything, and I've got a good education in Montana. I think we're still educating well in this state and hopefully in this country as well. But we run into some problems. I think we see, as we're talking about that today and welcoming you back here, Tom Schultz alongside for Voices of Montana. Again, referencing the CDC Youth Risk Behavior Survey, talked about an increase in suicide ideation, drug use is also on the rise as well. Of course, Montana recently legalized recreational marijuana. That's going to have an impact on our students as well. We're trying to tackle some of these issues, understanding them, and then get to some solutions. Tobin Navazio is with us, the superintendent of Hardin School District, and a longtime educator as well. And then Dr. Reverend Tim Tharp is with us, member of the Board of Public Education, also a longtime educator, and currently a superintendent of Richland County Schools. Thank you both for being here. Still, I just feel like we're just barely getting to cover this here a little bit. I want to go talk a bit about drugs first and see what kind of impact that's having in our schools. I know it's always been drugs and alcohol. It's always been a concern, but there's more reports about how dangerous these drugs are nowadays. So it's not something we can look the other way on. Who wants to take the first one? And there's really no question. Tell us about what kind of impact drugs are having in school, and how we mitigate that impact.
Well, this is Tim. I'll take a look. Just looking at these numbers from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, the significant jump over 2 years. Tried marijuana for the first time jumped from 7.3 to 9.6%. Using marijuana jumped up. Ever taking pain meds without a doctor's jumped. Ever used inhalants jumped. Ever used heroin jumped. Ever used meth went from 1.9 to 3.1%.
Wow.
Used ecstasy. Was offered, sold, or given an illegal drug on school property went from 22.3% up to 25%. Plus just the number of schools across the state and places where they're considering and are putting Narcan in their schools. Because as you were talking about earlier, all of these drugs, you don't know what's with it. I mean, back when we were growing up, those might have been straight and a lot less powerful. But now you have no idea if it's being cut with fentanyl or where that fentanyl might be. And then you don't even want to get me started about the recreational marijuana, which means that, it's safe and legal and everybody should have access to it 24/7. And that is a significant issue as well. But Tobin's on the front lines in the schools. I'm not sure what he's seeing there with drug use.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to something Tom said a little bit earlier in the last segment, talking about the tobacco going down. I would agree with that, Tom, but I can tell you anybody, and I don't know what the data says specifically, but anybody on the front lines will tell you while tobacco use might be going down, the vaping is skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing problem for every school district I talk to, even down into your upper elementary classrooms where kids are bringing those vapes to school. And kind of tying back into what we talked about with the social media and the a lot of the problem with the drug use at the younger ages is it goes back into that undeveloped brains. These kids' brains are not fully developed. So even something like recreational marijuana, that has an age limit on it, just like alcohol does. You know, so even if we're saying that is something that's acceptable and it can be used by adults, that doesn't mean it's acceptable and usable by children whose brains are still developing. And you know, we know that young men, our brains are developing all the way up to about age 25. So, you know, that's a huge challenge there. I would say that my opinion, coming at this from that mental health perspective, is that a lot of the uptick in drug use is probably more about self-medication by these kids that are struggling with mental health issues already, more so than it would be the social use. At least that's what, you know, that's what the stories I'm hearing, that's what I'm seeing, is that it's that self-medicating because I've got this depression, this, you know, unfilled hole within myself that I can't find a way to feel comfortable. And those drugs are sometimes a gateway to do that. And then it becomes a vicious cycle. So, you know, I use drugs to get away from my problems, but the drugs multiply my problems. And again, typically, actually, alcohol is usually the drug that's most associated with suicides, primarily because it is a depressant.
I'm going to ask you, Tobin Novazio again, and Dr. Tim Tharp with us here. I'm going to ask you, Tobin, about some of those programs. All right. And I know that, you know, we've dealt with these sorts of conditions in school for a long time, but I think, there's a lot more on educators' plates, on students' plates nowadays when it comes to what we're trying to get out of education. So it's a much more complicated issue, I think, than it has been in the past. What, you talked about a Hope Squad. Tell us how that forms, how it works, and maybe anything else that's resource friendly for parents to grab a hold of.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as the leader of a district, quite frankly, this mental health is my priority, because we know that a kid that's distracted or depressed is not going to learn at the same rate that they should. So if we can try to make sure that they have the right support for their social emotional needs, that's going to feed into academic growth. And so Hope Squad is something that we put in place when I was at Lockwood in 2019. And we had had a couple of suicides the prior year. One was a very young student. One was another student that wasn't on a lot of people's radar. And in talking to my colleagues around the state, we all kind of had the same programs. And I wanted to find a way to make sure we didn't have kids slipping through that safety net like we talked about earlier. And so I did some research, and I ended up getting connected with Dr. Greg Hudnall out of Provo, Utah. And just, you know, Dr. Hudnall's story just resonated so much with me. You know, he was a high school principal and basically had his own little breakdown following a funeral of a student that had completed suicide, and just said, I'm going to do whatever I can so that I never have to attend another student's funeral. And so we actually had Dr. Hudnall come up and do his training in the fall of 2019 at Lockwood. And then, of course, you know, when school shut down in the spring of 2020 and we had kids going through a lot of mental health issues, just the situations we had in Lockwood where students were reaching out to their counselors, and we had barely started the program. It's really about peer. I go back to a friend of mine, Dr. Bill Bond. He was the principal at Paducah, Kentucky, when they had one of the very first ever school shootings. Mm-hmm. And in the follow-up, it turned out that four or five other kids knew that this kid had been planning this. And when they asked him why they didn't say anything, they didn't want to get him in trouble. And so Bill talked about, rather than thinking of it as getting your friend in trouble, think of it as getting your friend help. And so that kind of meshed with what the Hope Squad was doing. And the idea is most kids will have a cry for help before they ever consider taking action. And like we talked about earlier, that's probably not going to happen in the hallway of the school or passing a note to somebody like it did when Dr. Tharp and I were early in our teaching careers. Now it's probably going to happen on social media. And so my staff is not likely to see that because, you know, for obvious reasons, we don't want staff being friends with kids on social media, but those other students can. And so giving those students the tools to help connect that person with help is really what Hope Squad's about. But it goes so much further than that. There's a full-on curriculum, and in my mind, it really takes away some of the cliques. It really helps kids build empathy for one another. They do tie in the QPR training that Dr. Tharp referenced earlier, question, persuade, refer, basically considered like CPR for mental health. Here in Hardin, back in our January PIR day, we trained our entire staff in QPR, and then our Hope Squad kids will get trained in QPR as well, too. A couple other things that we're doing, and if anybody's interested in Hope Squad or any of this stuff that I talk about, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is available right on the Hardin School website. Would love to talk to you about it. That's kind of how some of these conversations have started. here in Hardin, we were also one of, like I said, one of 15 districts nationwide chose to be part of the district comprehensive approach with the Jed Foundation. The Jed Foundation is a mental health support group that started primarily at higher ed and is drifting down into K-12. And so we're developing our own unique set of resources through that partnership, and we will have them on campus next week for 2 days doing a site visit to gather information and meet with our staff. A couple other things that we've put in place include Care Solus. That's a mental health system navigator that's available to our students and our staff, which is another key part of this conversation. Our staff members are at a breaking point for mental health because they're dealing with all these things as well.
Yeah.
And then we've also have a very long, we've got a great partnership with the Cook Center for Human Connections and parentguidance.org. We offer mental health nights every month. We have got one coming up early in May. I think it's the 10th. That's going to be focused on vaping. For parents, they can Zoom in or they can come into site and sit and listen to those presentations. And then we also offer parent coaching. And anybody can go on there and take a look at a bunch. They have a ton of videos available on this. So if you go to parentguidance.org, you can get on there. There's already preset videos on there that everybody has access to. But our parents can actually have access to a coach that will work with them and help them through those tough situations with their students. And here in Hardin, we've also partnered with the Rural Behavioral Health Institute. Lots of school districts in South Central Montana and across the state are partners with RBHI. And we actually do a mental health screening twice a year with all of our middle school and high school kids. And what that's allowed us to do is look at that data. So locally, are our kids having more and more mental health concerns, or are those trend lines starting to go back down? And so those are some of the tools we have in place here in Hardin. We're also looking at some more local things and things specific with our Native American population. But we're trying to put all these resources in place so that we have a safety net with no holes in it that no kids are going to slide through.
I like that.
Sorry, that was a lot real fast.
No, and that's what I wanted, those resources that people can tap into, and they're out there. Again, Tobin Novazio, from Hardin School District. And then Dr. Tim Tharp, I only got a couple more minutes here then. Tim, I'm going to have you comment on that as well. But I'm encouraged that there's more and more, I think, peer-to-peer mentoring as well. And I think that at that level, they can be real effective. But talk about, I know youth programs can be real helpful for students, but you got to get them engaged in it.
And that's one thing I really like about Character Strong. I mean, there's all sorts of different programs out there. And Tobin was saying, you know, trying to find out what's going to work for you. I really like Character Strong because it requires a very little amount of input from time from the teachers or whoever's presenting it. But we've got a grant to pay for that. And we offer that for K through 12 throughout every single school in Richland County. And that's a resiliency program. And it's designed specifically for individual grades. But the topics are the same across the board, but obviously taught at the different levels depending on what grade level you're in. And so that's a way to build that resiliency, because that's what seems to be lacking right now is that resiliency to be able to bounce back from these issues. But QPR and Hope Squad, for people who want to learn more, there's a lot of schools that have moved toward getting their teachers mental health first aid training, which is a full day of class. QPR can be done in about an hour 15, an hour and a half, and we have almost every teacher in Richland County has been trained in that. And then, yeah, like Tobin said, lots of great benefits through the RBHI. And one of the benefits of that also is that if it identifies that a student is in need, that student gets help, like, immediately. And whether it's face-to-face or through an online version, they get somebody right away to talk to them about what they're facing. And a lot of that just comes around reducing that stigma and not being afraid to talk about these things. And what Tobin said with the Hope Squad, these kids know what's going on. We've had suicides that the kids knew. They'd say, oh yeah, we figured that was going to happen. And so getting them to recognize, let's talk about this and let's get this in the open and not be afraid about getting somebody in trouble, but getting the person the help that they need. And I think we're really starting to make some inroads in some of our communities, but as we've been talking about all hour, this is a statewide issue. It is a rural issue specifically, and everything in Montana is rural. But we are starting to make some headway. We're seeing what is working.
And I'm encouraged by that, too. We're having an intelligent discussion, an informed discussion, a data-driven discussion here as well. And so I'm encouraged that there is, you know, solutions out there that are going to be effective for a lot of kids. Still going to be some that slip through, but it's important, the work that you guys do. Tobin, Tim, all your educators there, give them a pat on the back for us, will you? We appreciate it. It's very important work for us, and thank you for the work you do as well.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, good chatting with you. We'll continue this conversation. We didn't get to a lot of things, resources and COVID, but final thoughts from me as we come on back.
If your tractor needs to be fixed, you go to a tractor mechanic, not a car shop. So if you want to grow your agriculture business, shouldn't you go to a lender that specializes in agriculture? That's AgWest Farm Credit. We've been 100% focused on agriculture for over 100 years. So we understand your challenges, and we have the deep financial knowledge and experience to help you reach your goals and grow your future. See how we can help at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Hey, are you looking for a great place to stay when you're headed to Billings, Montana? Stay at the Boot Hill Inn and Suites in Billings Heights. Telephone number 406-245-2000. Seriously, whether you're driving a semi-truck, a pickup and a horse trailer, or your family car, the Boot Hill Inn has easy accessible parking, a hot complimentary breakfast, and free internet. Stay at the Boot Hill Inn and Suites. 406-245-2000.
We asked Miles Community College students why they chose MCC.
Hi, I'm Kylie Lewis, and I'm from Dillon, Montana. I chose Miles Community College because it's a lot more affordable than other colleges that I was looking at.
Hi, my name is Cody Acord. The original reason I chose Miles Community College was to further my education in horsemanship through an affordable program with a great instructor.
To learn more about Miles Community College, visit milescc.edu.
MCC, start here, go anywhere.
If you're using dyed diesel fuel and driving on Montana's public roads, you may not know this, but you are breaking the law. The small savings you see at the pump could end up costing you up to $5,000 in fines. Dyed diesel fuel is not taxed and is intended for off-road use only. Please, do the right thing. Don't use dyed fuel on Montana's roads. To report violators, you can call 1-888-FUEL-LAW. Thanks for your help. This message brought to you by the Montana Department of Transportation.
It's morning in the not-too-distant future. Your alarm goes off and your automated mattress lifts you out of bed. Your automated shower is all ready to go at the right temperature. Your automated kitchen makes you bacon and eggs sunny side up. Then you remember you need to call your health plan. You hit the call button on your phone and you're greeted by a real person, not an automated phone tree. At Pacific Source Health Plans, we know technology is important, but it can't replace human service. Visit PacificSourceMembersFirst.com to learn more.
Right, we'll get that up on a podcast here a bit later on as well. Just completely ran out of time, but there's just so much on the plate to talk about. We'll talk about education here. So my thanks again to Reverend Dr. Tim Tharp, who's a member of the Board of Public Education and Richland County Superintendent of Schools, along with Tobin Novazio, who's Superintendent of Hardin School District. And again, they'll be back on as well. They are longtime educators on the front lines as well, as we talk about just improving that education system. We want our kids to feel safe in school, but also the good quality education. I know we pile a lot of stuff on. We're talking energy tomorrow. Have a good day. See you then.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.